learning about the Rosh Hashanah prayer, and we said last night that we'd come back to discuss the Vatodienu. Now, when we discussed the prayer that's added in Shmone Esrei, in honor of Motzei Shabbat, so we have to know a few points. Firstly, the concept of discerning between Shabbat and weekday, according to the Rambam, is biblical. So just as we have a biblical requirement in the beginning of Shabbos to recognize Shabbos entered, we say Kiddush. At the end of Shul, you're not supposed to sit around and talk and shmooze and take your time. Go home and do Kiddush. Sanctify the day that has entered. By the same token, when Shabbos exits, we make note, and that's what we call Havdalah. We discern. It is no longer Shabbat. Now, when Yom Tov goes out, we also discern that Yom Tov is hereby over. We make Havdalah. When Yom Tov leaves, Havdalah is simply over a cup of wine. Borek Re'agafen, and then Amavdil Ben Kosh Lechol, Benor Lechoshech. That's all Havdalah is Matzah Yom Tov. Except for Matzah Yom Kippur, right? We discussed Thursday night, those of you who were there.
The first paragraph as well, or no?
No. Just Borek Re'agafen, and Amavdil Ben Kosh Lechol, Benor Lechoshech, Ben Yisrael Amim. Okay. So that's Matzah Yom Tov. What happens when Matzah Yom Tov is a Shabbos? So then I haven't gone down, I've gone up. So then I don't discern. Then I don't make any Havdalah. I go straight from Yom Tov into Shabbos. And what happens when, like this year, the first day Yom Tov is on Shabbos, second day Yom Tov, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, is on Sunday. So on the night, Motzei, the first day Rosh Hashanah, the second night of Rosh Hashanah, that's Motzei Shabbos. So now, Chazal originally had us make Havdalah on grape juice. Every Havdalah, every Shabbos. And then people became impoverished. They couldn't make Havdalah on grape juice. So Chazal instituted it in the Tfilah, in Atachonantanu. And then people got money again. So Chazal said, okay, so we're reinstituting, you make Havdalah on wine, plus you make Havdalah in the prayer. Now sometimes people think, no, the Havdalah in the prayer, you know, it's pretty important. We have to know it's very important. Chazal say that it's so important that even though sometimes we have shortcuts, we have ways of shortening the Shmoneh Esrei. We have a shorthand version of Shmoneh Esrei. Chazal say, what?
The worker's version?
Not the worker's version, no. But let's say your wife's going into labor and she says, honey, I want you to daven before I go into labor, but I want you with me in a minute, pronto. So now you got 60 seconds. So in 60 seconds, she wants you to daven, but she wants you there, right? So what can you do in 60 seconds?
So
because Chazal say that there is a short version of Shmoneh Esrei, in which Chazal instituted three first blessings, three last blessings, and the middle is all one long blessing.
It's like the worker's one. That's what I read in the Rambam. No, isn't that? That's not the same one?
Maybe. I don't know. So Chazal say, you know, let's say your wife goes into labor Motzei Shabbos. So he'll say, I'll make the short one. Chazal say, no short one. For you are responsible to note, to mention the fact that it's Motzei Shabbat. And that is so important that even though I let you forgo 12 of the 18 blessings, I'll let you all condense them all into one, but this one you can't condense. This one's so important. So we have to remember that Atachonantanu is very important. If we forget it, we say, okay, you know what? So I'm back to the default institution. I'm doing the original institution, Havdalah over wine, provided I don't need anything before Havdalah. So my Havdalah is kosher, and that's instead of my Atachonantanu on Motzei Shabbos. But we have to know that when we speak about the added blessing on Motzei Shabbat, so it's very important. You have to notice it. Yeah.
Well, what about, let's say you think it's clearly Shabbat's over, the three stars out, it's a tzitzit kohavim, you haven't davened Maariv, you can't just say Baruch Hamad Dilei Kodesh Lechol?
You could say Baruch Hamad Dilei Kodesh Malacha, but you're still responsible to say it in Havdalah, and responsible to say the Havdalah in Shmoneh Esrei, and the Havdalah that we make over wine. Yeah.
Rav, the middle blessing is all one blessing? Say the first three and the last three? and
there's open up a siddur and you'll see it.
Yeah. Okay. This is not the same thing as just saying each bracha from each paragraph. That's something completely
right.
different, correct?
That's something else.
Alright, but that does exist as some
correct.
Okay.
Well, that's why I wasn't sure what he was saying. So machlokas rishonim, if there's this middle ground.
We were told that if you're in a business meeting and like the goyim won't let you skip out, you start sneezing or coughing, you go out in the hall, you say the brachas without the paragraphs, and you
okay.
go back in.
I would say slightly differently.
Maybe have thought of
I would say slightly differently. Say the first three, and then every other blessing, you say the beginning of the paragraph and the end of the paragraph and the blessing.
The beginning
of the
of couple the, words?
Yeah,
the
first couple of words, last couple of words, and the blessing. Meaning you do get the idea, and that's what it says in the Chayyadam. If you look in the back of the Art Scroll Siddur after Shacharis, you'll see this version of a short Shmona Esrei, which is for emergency situations. Okay, now, if we already went on this tangent, there's one more point worth mentioning, and that is in the Motzei Shabbos blessings, in the addition, Atacho Nantano, what is it here? Yeah. What's the next word? No, I want you guys to tell me.
Sorry.
Many people err over here and say, Hashuchim mikol chet, darkened of all sin. What we really mean to say, so don't get it wrong, is chasuchim mikol chet. Not chasuchim. Chasuchim means darkened with all sin. Chasuchim mikol chet is withheld of all sin. A marked difference. So just, I've noticed a lot of people make this mistake.
Where is this?
In the Atta Chonantanu, so we say, Avinu Malkeinu, oh, the Spartan don't say it. Yeah.
You printed it wrong?
You guys don't have it. Sorry.
That's why it was cheap.
You guys say it differently. Ashkenazi.
Sorry.
Good. No, good. You're making me brush up on Spartan. I have to know it. What? It's half of Am Yisrael. I got to know it. Okay.
Maybe it's more.
Is it
about half?
I don't know. I don't do these statistics. I have no idea. Okay. Vatodiyin. So, on Motzei Shabbat, on the Yom Tov, we add, instead of Atachon Antanu, we add Vatodiyin. We will also make Havdalah within the Kiddush. Vatodiyin, Hashem Elokeinu, et Tishpetei Tzidkecha. Hashem, you let us know. Vatodiyin is like Yediyah.
How did you say Vatodiyin?
Yeah.
What's the next word?
Hashem Elokeinu. You have something else?
Just goes right in Mishpatei Tzidkecha.
Okay. Your righteous laws.
You have that though, right?
Yeah. Vatilamedeinu lasos chukei retzonecha. You taught us to do the statutes of your will. Vatiten lanu Hashem lokeinu mishpatim yesharim v'torot emet. You gave us just laws and true Torahs, right? There are different mitzvos in the Torah that are called Torah. Zos chukas haTorah. Zos toras haTzaras. Right, zos toras ayoledes. What does it mean, toros? So there are different. Chapters in the Torah that are called the Torah. It says this is the Torah of the woman who gave birth. This is the Torah of the person who has toras. You could also say it's talking about the Torah Shebaseven, Torah Shebaalpeh, chukim umitzvot tovim, good mitzvos, good statutes. And you gave us as our heritage times of rejoicing and Mo'adei Kodesh. So what does the word Mo'ed mean? Mo'ed could mean, we said, a set time. Mo'ed could mean a time for gathering. Nachmanides is of the opinion that on the Yamim Tovim, we have a biblical responsibility to daven with the minyan. So it's Mo'adei Kodesh. It's times of gathering, of holiness, and this is one of the key points, like Chazal say, what does Achashverosh do when he gathers with his men? They talk about girls, they talk about lust, They talk about filthy things. What do we do when we gather? We sing smiros. We learn Torah. We do mitzvos. We have mo'adei kodesh. Times where we gather, and it's holiness. In Chazal's time, they used to have policemen, Jewish policemen going around by the orchards and by the rivers to make sure that the boys and the girls behave themselves. We need that today. So they ensured that it was holy times of gathering, v'chagei nedava, and times when we have where we could give sacrifices of donations. V'torishenu kedushat Shabbat uchvod moed v'chagigat haregel. And you gave us as part of our inheritance, you gave us the holiness of Shabbos, the honor of the holiday. What are we stressing here? We're about to discern that we're taking a step down from the holiness. This isn't Shabbos anymore. I'm allowed to transfer fires. I'm more lenient. It's Yom Tov. It's not Shabbos. I'm allowed to take things out of domains, right? Right. So I'm about to do Havdalah, technically. I don't want to make it sound like I'm going from the holy day of Shabbos to, well, Yom Tov. No, I want to say, Yom Tov is this precious gift you gave us, God. And I'm going from Shabbos, which is amazing, to Yom Tov, that's this precious, treasured gift that has these leniencies. Important perspective. So that's what we're stressing here. Hashem, you gave us these laws. You told us how to run our lives. You gave us times of rejoicing, these beautiful holidays. And now I'm going from Shabbos to the holiday. Notice the gentle way in which we say, and then we will stress the discernment. Well, towards the end, but first we're introducing it. It's not that I'm going down. I am technically going to a lower holiness, but I'm going to stress the beauty and the holiness of Yom Tov. I'm not going to stress the fact that, well, this is less than Shabbos. Yeah? Yeah?
Are we gauging holiness in a sense by malacha? Like we were talking about, because we can do, we can transfer fire to fire, we can take things out of here. Like, why does that distinguish between holiness? Like, what's the correlation between malacha that you can't do and the holiness of the day?
I'd love to discuss it, but a fair answer would be too long. Should we try 2-minute answer? See if we can get in 2 minutes.
Everyone's yeah. Okay with it.
If a person knows that Shabbos is about eating challah and lighting candles, that's not considered a person that knows what Shabbos is about. The halacha describes what's considered knowledge of Shabbos. Knowledge of Shabbos must be a prohibition. What does that tell us? What does that tell us about Jewish identity? If my Jewish identity revolves around the Yom HaTzmut Day parade, if my Jewish identity just revolves around the positive, the fun, active parts, I don't have a concept of what Jewish is. I don't have a concept to the point that even when I have to gauge this person in halacha and his errors and how I'm going to gauge how many sacrifices he has to bring for the different chatot that he did. In my book, in halacha, he doesn't know Shabbos. But he knows you have to eat challah on Shabbos. He knows that you do all these positive things. No, you don't know Shabbos. The first point would be we have to know that there's an aspect where kedusha, part of holiness, is knowing that I have limitations. That's point number one. Aside from that, there's more to discuss about the punishments of Shabbos, and the Rambam writes in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, when the Mishnah says, "Vezeil b'mitzvah kala k'mitzvah chamura," be careful with the light mitzvahs, the weighty mitzvahs. So the Rambam says, there are areas where we could know the weight of mitzvot based on their punishment. And that's where we do say that a mitzvah that has a heftier punishment, well, obviously it's a more stringent mitzvah. A mitzvah that has a lighter punishment, that's a lighter mitzvah. Desecrating of Yom Tov has a lighter punishment than desecrating of Shabbos. So So that's why how we know when it comes to weights which one is weighty. It's a partial answer. There's a lot more to discuss. Notice I used the term weighty, and initially we were talking about holy. That needs to be discussed, but enough said for tonight. Let's move forward. There are two types of discernment. We cannot discuss Havdalah without discussing this concept. There is a discernment where two are within a class, and we say one is bigger than the other, but they're in the same class. And then there's a discernment, they're totally different classes, right? You don't say, I'm so much smarter than this cup, because we're in a different class, right? As far as we know, the cup has no intelligence, right? You say, I'm so much smarter than the dog. Tells us the Rambam, human being and animal are not in the same category. A human being is not a non-kosher animal. We do not say, well, he doesn't choose cut. He doesn't have split hooves. So that's why he's not kosher. No, says the Rambam. It's a separate class. Sometimes we have to know. We get confused by the scientific world. A human being is not a more sophisticated animal. Different class. There's the chai, there's the animal, there's the medaber. There's the one who has capacity to speak. When we come to discern between Shabbos and Yom Tov, notice what we say in our Havdalah. Hamadil, Hashem, you discern. Made separations in the world. Bein Kodesh, Lechol. Bein Or, Lechoshech. Bein Yisrael, La'amin. Bein Yom HaShvi'i, Lesheshet Yimei HaMaaser. Now you guys, the rest is homework. I purposely said less rather than more. Matavdel Hashem Elokeinu. And so Hashem, our God, you have separated, you have discerned, and I hope that you guys, if you have not yet learned the Kuzari, then when you learn the Kuzari, you will think of how to apply the Kuzari to our Havdalah. So what we just said. Tatavdel Hashem Elokeinu ben Kodesh Lechol, Hashem, you separated, you discerned, you made clear distinction between that which is holy and that which is mundane. Now, chol could mean mundane, they translate it as profane. I don't know why. Bein or lechoshech, between light and darkness. Bein Yisrael amim, between Israel and the nations. Bein yom ha-shevi'i, l'sheshet yimei ha-maaseh. And there's a lot to think about. You know, we touched on a point that we could talk about all week. This point of Bein Yisrael amim, the discernment between us and the nations, which we purposely mention in Havdalah. And if you think about the Jew in Europe for the last millennium, the Jew who knew that he's going out to face the world. What does the Shulchan Aruch say after he finishes describing the mourning of a Jew? He says, now when you're going to go out to business, the laws of doing business with a non-Jew who's going to take you to court and demand that you take vows by his God. Next halacha, you finish the mourning laws. You finish the laws of how a Jew is supposed to wake up in the morning, wash his hands, put on tzitzis, put on tefillin, daven, go to shul, birchus kohanim, kriyas haTorah. You finish that before. What's the next order of business? You got to go work. What's work? Work is dealing with the nations. What's dealing with the nations? What am I going to do when he's going to make me take a vow with his pagan god? What do I do? This discernment, there's a lot to think about here. You know, we got to move, but you guys got to think. Ben Yisrael amim ben yom ha-shvi'i l'sheshet yimei ha-maaseh. Between the seventh day and the 6 days of work, I want you guys to get used to noticing things. Notice that the day is not called the Shabbat, it is called the seventh day. There's room to discuss that. Is Shabbat, there are aspects of Shabbat which stem from its being Shabbat, the day that God rested. There are aspects of Shabbat that stem from its being the seventh day. And as you learn Shas, remember this point, you'll notice it. Onward. Bein Kedushat Shabbat L'Kedushat Yom Tov Ivdalta. I want to give you points. Look, Torah, the rule is, Divrei Torah Nihim B'Makom Achad, Ashim B'Makom Achad, Acher. You guys are the advanced class. So you have to get accustomed to storing thoughts. Noticing points, storing them, as you'll continue learning, you'll see where to apply them. You hear a point? Okay, you remember. You won't remember everything we mentioned. But you'll remember many of the points. You'll get used to noticing things. As you get used to noticing them, you'll read your Rashi that suddenly discusses that Shabbos is the seventh day that you counted. You'll say, wait a second, why is Rashi talking about Shabbos as the seventh day you counted? Isn't Shabbos just that intrinsic day from creation? The seventh day is from God's count? What does that have to do with my count? You reach the Gemara that says when you're traveling the disc and you lose count, count 7 days and do Kiddush on the seventh day. You'll say, wait a second, what are the odds I got it right? How can I make a blessing? Odds are 7-1, I got it wrong, right? 6-1. Oh, so maybe there's something with the 7. Then you'll think back to what we said tonight. But I didn't want to tell you all of that, because we can't say, no, but I want you to see the example. I mention things because I want you to notice them. The more you learn, the more you learn to apply them. Fair? Onward. Ben Kedushat Shabbat, Likdushat Yom Tov Ibdalta. Hashem, you discerned between the holiness of Shabbos and the holiness of Yom Tov. Notice how Chazal worded it. So we notice, it's not, oh, Yom Tov, free. I can do what I want. No, there's the holy Yom Tov and the holy Shabbos. And the seventh day you sanctified from the 6 days. Did God take the holiness from? What does this name mean? It was, the holiness was taken from them? Or is this from a relation? Holier than. I'll get to you in 1 second. You separated and sanctified your nation Israel with your holiness. And that's a phenomenal concept. We say in Shmoneh Esrei every day, Atah Kadosh, God, you're holy. What does that seem to say? So distant from us. V'shimcha Kadosh, your name, your, the way you reveal yourself is holy. U'kadoshim, and then we use the term, who's holy? We're holy. And the Holy One sanctify you every day.
I thought that was referring to the...
Yes.
The
one pshat is that's a reference to Kedushim is the Malachim. One pshat is it's referring to us.
They but wait for
whatever,
us. Yeah.
Whatever you will say, it's a pasuk in the Nap. You're right, it's Nevshahayim, but it's a Gemara. It's a, okay. Even if you say it's the angels, at first glance, we would say that's belittling what we just said. We began by saying, you are Kadosh. We end off by saying, and there are others that are Kadosh. What's the concept? So where do we have the goal to say this? Where do we get the goal from? From God. God told us. What does the Torah say? Kiddushim to you, ki kadosh ani. You be holy because I'm holy. So what's the connection? God is awesome. God is mighty. God creates the world. What am I supposed to do? No. There's a connection. Kiddushim to you, ki kadosh ani. And Parashas Kedoshim will expand. If you want to hear a beautiful drush on that, listen to Herschel Schechter's shir on Parashas Kedoshim. It's beautiful, beautiful. YuTorah.org. Okay, so we did Vatodien. Now let's skip forward. You had something, David. I'm with you. We finished the Vatodien Ashkenazi. I'm sorry.
No, it was pretty close.
Okay, yeah.
We're saying this paragraph at the beginning of the second day of Rosh Hashanah.
On the second night, Ma'ariv. This is the paragraph we had at Ma'ariv.
Right.
Also Ma'ariv of any Yom Tov. This year we're going to have Sukkot is also going to be Yom Tov Ma'ariv. Only we here in Israel have one day Yom Tov. So it's going to be a Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Yom Tov. It'll be a regular Atachon and Tanu. In Chutz La'aretz on Sukkot, they'll also say Vatodienu. Because it's the second night of Yom Tov. Okay. So let's get back to where we left off yesterday. We're very short on time. And I don't know if we're going to have Thursday to learn. Because Thursday might be for all the guys. I'm not sure if we'll be able to do this. So I suggest we skip forward to the Musaf. And if we have time, here I feel you can take a translation on your own and get what you need to out of it. Let's just notice a few short points. We begin the Shmoneh Esrei with the addition, and in the first blessing we add, the let's go to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. We say Zochreinu L'chayim, God, remember us for life. Melech Hafetz B'chayim, the king who seeks life, who wants us to have life. Remember, God's rooting for us. He wants the verdict to come out in our favor. The end of the Shemoneh Esrei, we've come close to Hashem. Shemoneh Esrei is a time, every Shemoneh Esrei should be a period where a person comes close to Hashem. The Kuzari describes Shemoneh Esrei as the time when the Jew can bond with Hashem. And he says the Ma'amin spends his life going from prayer to prayer. The rest of the day is just like, oh, I can't wait till the next time we meet. When you guys, Be'ezrat Hashem, will meet your beloved, your spouse, you'll see what life is like. You're living for the dates. You're living between the dates. When can we meet again? That's how a Ma'amin's day should look. I can't wait till the next time I can talk to God again. I can get together a believer.
Oh,
yeah. That's a loose translation. So the prayer has developed us into a different person. At the end of davening, we're a different person. Now we can already ask Hashem, Uchtov lechayim tovin kol bnei b'ritecha. We don't only ask for life, we ask for good life.
This is in the last bracha.
Just before Shalom Rav. V'chol Achaim. Wait. One more point. The Rebbe from Chabad says, why do we wish one another Shana Tova Umetuka? Why do we say good and sweet? Because not everything good is sweet. So we wish it should be good and sweet. Kol Tov. You're not leaving us. Okay. And at the conclusion of Shemoneh Esrei, so we had the Sefer Chayim. Just remember, in the Ne'ilah prayer at the end of Yom Kippur, in all of these, instead of Uchsov, all of these will be Vachasom, and seal us in for all of these things. In the Ne'ilah prayer, that's Yom Kippur.
One prayer. One day we do five.
Yeah. Okay.
How do we spell it?
Mem Tav Vav Kuf He. Okay, let's skip forward to Musaf. So we said that in Musaf we have Malchuyot, Zichonot, and Shofarot. The introductory, the Atah Kadosh, is the same. Like we said, in all the Shemoneh Esrei, that's going to be the same. And then we begin, like any holiday, Atah V'chartanu. We mention the fact that God chose us. And He gave us this day of Rosh Hashanah. And now, what is Musaf all about? Musaf corresponds to that added sacrifice that was brought at the temple. That's the word Musaf, added. So, we're going to discuss the sacrifices. That's the Musaf prayer. We're going to discuss the sacrifices. Chazal instituted within this prayer, we also discuss Malchuyot, God's kingship, Zichonot, our memory that should come up before God for good, and Shofarot, the ultimate shofar that we are anticipating. So before we mention the Korbanot, we always begin with a recognition that we cannot bring these Korbanot now. And we await the time that we will be able to bring the Korbanot. So we begin, Umipnei Chataino. Every Yom Tov we begin this way. And because of our sins,
what's the words?
Umipnei Chataino. You have it too, let me see. Try to say it, but they introduced it slightly different. Here. Okay,
so that's way of
doing
it.
Okay? Correct. We said that's after the first blessing. The first blessing, Atah Kadosh, has the same additions that it has all other prayers of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. All of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the first Atah Kadosh is the same. Okay. Until HaMelech HaKadosh, everything is the same. Now you guys mastered that. You know that. Okay. Mipnei Chataynu. Because of our sins. What does the word Chet mean? Chet means to miss. Off the mark. It says, the tribe of Binyamin used to be able to throw a slingshot from a distance and hit a here, and they wouldn't miss. How does the Navi describe they wouldn't miss? Velo Yachati. Chet is to miss, to be off the mark. What's a chet? A chet is a sin, like you correctly said, that's unintentional, because I'm just off the mark. I missed. If you think about the deeper thought, you realize that that's what the sin is about. Sometimes it's just because we spend our life being off the mark. And because of our sins, we have exiled from our land. Have we been exiled?
I'm just going to ask that question.
We?
We're on our Adama right now.
Chazal tell us, any generation that the Beit HaMikdash is not rebuilt in their generation, it's as though it was destroyed in their generation. So we're not yet back. We have not yet perfected our generation, and so we do not yet have a Beit HaMikdash.
And why is that? Because it wasn't built, it's like we destroyed it again?
That's what Chazal said.
Because we didn't merit for it.
Not merit, we didn't perfect ourselves. If we'd be better, it's not this EGBG thing. It's plain and simple. You do what's right, if we perfect ourselves, then things will go on autopilot.
But is it going to be like, it's Yom Yitzrayim where not everyone perfected themselves, and it was like Hashem took out, sort of cut off the grass, cut off the extra.
All we need is to break the tipping point.
It's a good question.
Doesn't seem like we're in that direction.
No.
It's for everyone, you know?
I'll tell you a nice Kutzker part. Kutzker Rebbe used to say, the Talmud says that Mashiach will come either if the generation is all sinners or all tzaddikim. Either extreme brings Mashiach. So the Kutzker Rebbe used to say, Rabon Shalom, look at us, look at how terrible we're doing. For a few tzaddikim, you're keeping Mashiach away?
I don't get it. Because of our unintentional sins, we've been exiled. What about the intentional ones and the ones that were actually...
Sochet is also a term that's encompassing for sin. I think so. V'nitrachaknu me'al admatenu, and we have been distant, far from our land. We can no longer do our obligations. We're going to discuss our duties. What should we be doing on this day? Which korbanot?
Specifically, korbanot chovetim.
Okay. Within your chosen home, b'bayit ha'gadol v'akadosh, in that great and holy house, shenikra shimcha alav, that your name was called on it, mipnei hayad shenishtolcha b'mikdashecha, because of the hand that has been extended into your temple. Last year we had a whole class on the word yad in Tanakh. What is the word yad? So when you see it in Tanakh, notice it. It's a special word. Not all.
Well,
yours is right. And ours is right.
Yad shelucha, no? Nothing about a hand.
Okay. So you don't have that here. We'll get to where you're up to. Yehi ratzon. May it be the will before you, Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers. Apply everything we said yesterday about that introduction. Melech HaChaman, merciful king. We're about to describe the sacrifices. Technically, God made a promise to Avraham Avinu. He said, I will give your children the land of Israel. Avraham said, what will be when they sin? God said, I'll give them sacrifices. Avram said, what will be when they have no temple? They can't bring sacrifices. God said, if they say before me the sacrifices, I will give them wages as though they sacrificed the animals themselves. The recounting of the sacrifice is as though you brought the sacrifice. So we're not copping out. We're not saying, God, we're doing it. You know, if we say it, it's good enough. No. We're beginning by introducing. We're saying, Hashem, we know that really things should be better. We know we're not living up to our end of the deal. It's because of our sins that the temple was destroyed. And so, we're not complacent. We are not happy with the way things are. No, Hashem, please, may it be your will, shetashuvu trachem aleinu, that you return and have mercy over us, v'al mikdashcha, and over your temple, trachamecha rabim, with your great mercy. V'tivneu me'era, and build it swiftly, utgadel kvodo, and raise its honor. So, this always bothered me. In our prayers, we always seem to pray about the next step. You ever notice that? We end Shemoneh Esrei and we say, may be the will of Hashem that the temple be rebuilt, and there we will serve you. V'sham na'avotcha b'ira, kimei olam uchshanim kadmoniot, v'arval Hashem minchat Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, kimei olam uchshanim kadmoniot. And may the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant before you. Right.
If, and then if that...
Right. What's going on here? There are many beautiful thoughts about this. In a nutshell, there are many ways that things can play themselves out. We saw that when it came to the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash. God was prepared to do miracles like when we left Egypt. God was prepared to do a wondrous ascent back up to Jerusalem. And the Jewish people said, we're happy in Babylon, leave us alone. So Ezra and the leader said, come up. And the king Koresh, Esther's son, he said, go. I'll give you the money. Whoever wants to go, go. Rebuild the temple. And the Jews said, we're fine. Thank you very much. And God said, okay, if you're not so interested, then fine. So you'll go with the permission of Koresh. You'll meet the Gentile king or the Koresh, the king of Persia, to give you permission. And when you come up, it won't be with so many miracles, and you'll be under the hands of the nations when you're in Israel. And the second temple, when it was originally rebuilt, was very poor. They couldn't even afford a gold menorah. Very poor temple.
What do they have? Brass?
Machlokas. Whether they had wood or metal plated. So, when we pray not only how it should come, that it should come, but how it should come. We know Hashem could come back to Tzion with Rachamim or with Din. We say, let it be with Rachamim. When we say Tkabe Shofar, we say we don't just want the shofar being blown. We want it to be Shofar Gadol. There are different ways that the Gula can play itself out. And we daven Hashem, let it be in the most positive way. Tkabe Shofar Gadol. Okay, you guys are in Machon Meir. If you have a minute, open up Rav Kook's commentary on the Siddur, the Olat Re'ayah, and over there he discusses this concept. What's the Shofar Gadol? What's this big...
Where do we find it?
In the back of the Midrash. You have the Olat Re'ayah. Yeah. So, we say to Hashem, please, have mercy on us, rebuild the temple, elevate its honor, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. The Talmud says, they were once praying for rain, didn't come. They tried. Then Rabbi Akiva went down before the ark and he said, one time, Avinu Malkeinu, one Avinu Malkeinu, the sky got covered with clouds and came pouring down. They said, wow, God likes it when we call him Avinu Malkeinu. So they instituted the whole long Avinu Malkeinu. Now you got to think, what do these words mean? We say, Im Kivanin, Im Kavadin. There are two aspects in which God relates to us. Sometimes like servants, sometimes like children. We have a whole song about it that introduces the Kedusha in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Ki anu amecha, ata malkeinu. Anu banecha, ata avinu. Anu tzonecha, ata ro'enu. Anu rayatecha, ata dodeinu. There are different aspects to our relationship with Hashem. So we stress here, avinu malkeinu, galei kevod malchutcha aleinu meira. Reveal the honor of your holiness upon us swiftly, and you should appear and be uplifted above us so that all living will see it. Gather the Jews that are scattered from among the nations, and the Jews that are all throughout the diaspora, gather from the ends of the earth. V'avienu letzion yirecha berina, bring us to Zion, your city, with joy. V'lirushalayim bet mikdashcha b'simchat olam, and to Jerusalem that houses your holy temple with a rejoicing that is eternal. V'sham na'ase lefanecha t'korbanot chovoteinu, over there we will bring the sacrifices that we are obligated. What are the sacrifices we are obligated? There are the two that we should be bringing every day of the year, including Shabbat, including Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, every holiday, every day. The standard daily offerings, the way they should be brought, and the additions, and then we say, and what about the musaf that we should be bringing today? The first day of Rosh Hashanah, we should be bringing the added sacrifice for Shabbos, plus the added sacrifice for Yom Tov, let us do that as it says in your Torah. Now technically we could end there, as it says in your Torah. But we go a step beyond, and we actually quote the verses of the sacrifices. But we'll skip that. You guys could look at it on your own.
You have written Musafeyom.
Yeah. Yeah. Does any
Sefer go in?
Just a second, he's been waiting,
sorry.
Yeah.
Do we understand the difference between Malkeinu and Master?
Malkeinu is our king, it's not our master. Adonainu is our master.
I know. Do we understand why God responds differently to the two words?
Avinu Malkeinu?
Yeah.
The commentaries discuss it, but what do I know? Look it up.
But the answer exists. It's not some like far off concept that we can't understand.
Answers exist. Yeah.
The answer exists.
Is there a sefer that discusses the importance of the korbanot? Is it like some sort of meaning why we
bought sefer?
Anything that's like a crash?
There's a website called TorahForMe.org. And the question answers, there's a little bit on that. And 2 or 3 years ago, we had a class. I don't remember if it's Parshas Vayikra or the end of Shmos. I seem to remember it was the end of Shmos, where we had a tangent in the Parshas here. It was not last year. It was either 2 or 3 years ago. And I have a feeling it was 3 years ago. Tangent, and it should be towards the end of Shmos. We have a long tangent there that brings the different shitot in Rishonim, understanding the concept of Kovanot. Okay, so we barely got to Zichonot, Machiot, and Shofarot. So, the first thing we have to know. Technically, once we say, as it says in the Torah, that's enough. Chazal said it's a good thing to mention the verses of the Torah. So, we mentioned the different verses. One of the verses is... not one of the verses. The first point we're going to mention here within this first blessing is Malchuyot. So we're going to mention 10 verses about Malchuyot. Let's skip forward. We start with Aleinu and Al Kain. And then, at the end of Al Kain, we mention Ki HaMalchut Shelcha Hi. The kingship is yours. You will forever be God. Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Ve'ed, it says in your Torah. And there we begin with a pasuk from the Torah. We go on, v'ne'emar, and we quote a pasuk from Tehilim, Lo'ibi Daven. We go, pasuk from Torah, Ketubim, Nevi'im, Torah. Yeah? V'ayhi v'shurun melech, yeah? V'itasef rashayam, and then, uv'divrei kodshecha ketub lemor. I'm sorry, no. Just a second. And then v'ne'emar lo yibit aven b'Yaakov. So that pasuk is in Dvarim. Lo yibit aven b'Yaakov. We start with the Torah. Yeah? Lo yibit aven b'Yaakov. And then v'yi bishurun melech. That's also v'yi bishurun melech b'itasef rashayam yachad shivtei Yisrael is also in Dvarim. Right? Now, our parashiyot, and then we go from there, from Torah, we go to Ketuvim, to Nevi'im, 3 from Torah, 3 psukim that illustrate that God is king in Torah, 3 in Ketuvim, 3 in Nevi'im, and then we conclude with Torah. We end with one pasuk, so that we have a total of 10. That's in Malchuyot. We're going to do the same for Shofarot, so you guys can see the psukim. And Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is equal to saying God is King, even though it doesn't say Hashem is Melech in that pasuk. When we say God is the only one, that's also Malchuyot. That's also we're mentioning God is King. So that brings us to the conclusion of Malchuyot. And just like we don't just say the verses, we conclude with a request. Elokeinu, Elokei Avoteinu, Melech al kol ha'olam kulo v'chvodecha. Hashem, you should reign over the world. Now that we mentioned the verses that illustrate your kingship, so we end off by asking Hashem, let your kingship be known, let everyone recognize you're running the show, and then we conclude, being that this was the blessing, we do Malchuyot together with the blessing of Musa. Remember, it was all one blessing, the sacrifices of the day. So we conclude with the Mekadesh HaShabbat Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron, the holiness of the day. Because really this was the blessing of the day, the sacrifice of Musa. Within that blessing, we stuck in Malchuyot. Did you guys follow that? You'll see by contradistinction, it'll be clear. In the next, in Zichronot, so we begin by mentioning Hashem, you remember everything. You're mindful of everything that happens in the world. And then we quote Psukim again. Three Psukim from Torah that mention that God remembers everything, He's following what's going on. Three in Ketuvim, three in Nevi'im, and then one in Torah. Then we end up with a request. Hashem, please remember us for good. Remember the promise you promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov on this day, right? The Akedah that happened on Rosh Hashanah itself. And Baruch Atah Hashem Zocher HaBrit. Remember the Akedah, remember our merits, and we conclude with the blessing of Zichonot Zocher HaBrit, Hashem who remembers the covenant. So by contradistinction, Zichonot ends Zocher HaBrit. Shofarot ends Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Kol Truat Amo Yisrael. Malchuyot doesn't end Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Al Kol Olam. No, because Malchuyot is the fusion of Malchuyot together with the blessing of the day. So it ends with the blessing on the day. You guys follow that? No. Okay, but I got to go down and take attendance.
I'm trying.
Okay, keep on.